Hello, my name is Sally Batting, and I'm here today to talk to you about cycling in the Antarctic. You might well wonder what on earth made me decide to do something so crazy. Most people usually imagine that I went there because of my uncle, who made a name for himself many years ago as an Arctic explorer. But in fact, if anything, he put me off with his stories of frostbite and other uncomfortable experiences. It was only when I was about 12 and saw a film of a TV presenter who I particularly liked crossing the Antarctic that I began to want to go there myself one day. Little did I imagine then that I'd actually have been there twice before I was 25. I've always loved cycling, and my dream was to be the first person to make it to the South Pole on a bike. I did eventually get there on two wheels, though I didn't end up being the first person to do so. Anyway, the first time I made it to Antarctica, I didn't get as far as the pole. I covered about 150 kilometres on snowshoes. That was an amazing experience. I was hoping to go further by sled, but the weather conditions were against us and we had to return to our camp on the coast. Despite those problems with the weather, I fell in love with the Antarctic on that first trip. You'd imagine that it would be the extreme cold that strikes you when you first arrive there, but in fact, you're so well wrapped up in all the appropriate clothing that you hardly notice that. I certainly didn't find it a problem. What impressed me most was actually the brightness resulting from snow all around, combined with 24-hour daylight. I was there in the Antarctic summer, of course. So, as I said, I didn't make it to the pole on that first trip, but I went home determined to get back there as soon as I could. I'd been intending to become a doctor, but decided to postpone my studies and earn some money to finance my next trip. I've always been quite good with engines, and I found a job as a mechanic. I did lots of overtime, and after 2 years, I'd made enough to head back to Antarctica with all the gear I needed to make a bid for the pole. The route to the pole from the coast is in three sections, which are usually referred to as legs. The first is basically a steep climb, inland and upwards from the coast to the Patriot Hills. The second is flatter and generally less hard going. I must admit I found that the most enjoyable stretch. Then there's the third leg, and that's undoubtedly the most demanding. This is the long, hard climb to the pole, which lies about 2,800 metres above sea level. It was all rather harder than I'd anticipated. I managed to cope with the physical exertion, as I'd been doing a lot of very demanding training before I set out. It was still exhausting, though, and the isolation was desperately hard to deal with, and even worse was the wind. That was so strong at times that I simply had to pitch camp and wait till it eased off. Of course, I felt very lonely out there at times, but I was able to stay in touch with family and friends. Modern methods of communication have certainly transformed life for explorers and everyone else adventuring far from civilization. I kept a blog, and so my family knew exactly how I was getting on, and they were able to add messages of encouragement to it, which did a great deal to keep me going. People often ask what I missed most on the trip, and that's a hard one to answer. I really wished I could be lying in my own comfy bed at times, but was usually too tired to think about it too much. I did long for a hot bath, though. That was the first thing I wanted to have when I got home. I didn't really miss any kind of food or anything, though I must admit, I've never enjoyed a cup of coffee more than the delicious cappuccino I had on the flight home.